WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest, Luke Wilson, is one of the stars of the new film, The Family Stone. He made his film debut with his brother, Owen Wilson, in the independent film Bottle Rocket, which was directed by their friend, Wes Anderson, who also directed them in The Royal Tenenbaums. Luke Wilson's other movies include Old School, Charlie's Angels, and Legally Blonde. The Family Stone is a comic story set at Christmas as the adult children of the Stone family return to their parents' home in New England. The oldest son brings his girlfriend, played by Sarah Jessica Parker. She's tightly wound and controlling. As soon as she meets the family, she's convinced they hate her. And she's right. After she's managed to alienate the parents, two sisters, and the deaf gay brother, she leaves the house in embarrassment. Her boyfriend's other brother, played by Luke Wilson, takes her to a bar in the hopes of calming her down.
I am not a bad person.
You're a total mess. Look at you.
I am?
I mean that in the best possible sense, of course. You know that.
I do? I love the gays! Gay people!
They know that.
Then why? I took her to the nicest restaurant I know, and she didn't say a word to me. Not one word. All evening. But I tried. And I try, and I would have slept on the couch.
Maybe you should stop. Stop. Stop trying. You know, it's exhausting. Trying to keep that lid screwed on so tight. Relax.
Luke Wilson, welcome to Fresh Air. In much of The Family Stone, you're kind of like hanging back, observing everybody be crazy. So it must be an interesting part to have, because so much of your role is observing people as we observe you observing them.
Right. You know, I guess the character I play, Ben Stone, seems so different from the rest of the family because they're just kind of so straight-laced. I never even really thought of them that way. And just being on the set day to day and being around people like, Diane Keaton and Craig T. Nelson, you just get to talking so much. It's like one minute you're having a conversation, the next minute you're doing a scene. And I never really, felt the difference between, doing the scene or just hanging around with them. I was enjoying both, but then you see the finished product and it's all been cut together so that everybody seems a certain way, but it's almost as if I wasn't aware of it while we were doing it.
Is Diane Keaton somebody you grew up watching?
Yeah. I can just remember my Aunt Sheila being a big fan of hers and, I can remember going to the theater to see Looking for Mr. Goodbar, for instance. And I was pretty young to see that, thinking back. I don't know that I'd take my nephew to that nowadays, but
learn a thing or two about dating.
Yeah. Dating in New York in the 70s. and then of course Annie Hall and things like that. And she's one of those people where I don't know how they've managed to get away with it, but certain people that are kind of come around in the 60s and 70s, like her and Jack Nicholson, and they don't seem to do TV press, so whenever you see them, it seems for the most part you see them on screen, or people like Warren Beatty. So that was interesting to be around her.
You have two older brothers. One of them is Owen Wilson, who you co-starred with in Bottle Rocket and in The Royal Tenenbaums, and both of which were directed by Wes Anderson, and of course he's in a film that you just wrote and directed that you also star in, that's coming out in February. So who started acting first? Owen, your older brother, or you?
I think Probably Owen started acting first back in school. I mean, we were never big theater guys, but I think we both did plays here and there. And we both got into the movie business at the same time, you know, doing the film Bottle Rocket. But as kids, we lived on this street called Farquhar, and my dad had this thing he called the Farquhar Players, where it was me and Owen and my brother Andrew, and we just kind of had these little skits that we'd do for him and his friends after dinner. And they were all kind of making fun of him, oddly enough, but he really got a kick out of them. So that's probably our first acting stuff, you know, where we were, one of us would play our dad, one of us would play our mom, one would play, you know, the guy at the barbecue joint that didn't understand my dad's Boston accent. So, yeah, that's probably when we started.
What were some of the qualities you'd make fun of your father for?
His temper. I don't know if you can call that a quality. No, but, yeah, we were just kind of kidding around about his temper and him having, even as kids, we had picked up that he has a very thick Boston accent. We grew up in Dallas, and you'd get a lot of people that had said, I didn't catch that. What'd you say again? You know, that kind of thing. And that would always kind of hit our funny bone a little bit.
Now, you were like on sports teams in school before acting, right?
Right.
And you're one of several actors who I've talked to over the years who started in sports and ended up in acting, and yet, for some reason, to me, they seem like really like different styles. You know, the acting versus athletics. Was it a big switch for you to move from one to another, and to move from one group of people to the other?
Not at all. And I think about it, you know, really on every job, the fact, you know, how glad I am that I played sports growing up. I played football and I ran track. And because you really, you know, I mean, it's cliched stuff, but you learn how to work on a team. And, you know, I'll see somebody walk on a movie set and, you know, kind of be dismissive of certain people that are working on, you know, certain jobs on the crew. And it'll just kind of make me think, God, how can they not get that, you know, each person does play an important part in getting the movie made, yet there are people like that. But I also just think it helps with things like timing. And, you know, it's like if you play on a football team, you know that the, like the left tackle is just as important as the quarterback, even though he might get all the glory.
Now, your father headed a PBS station in Dallas, was it?
In Dallas. I think my dad's name is Robert Wilson, and he, through a man named Ralph Rogers, my dad became the head of Channel 13 in Dallas, I think, from maybe 68 to 76, or I might have those years off. But, yeah, that was a great time. And just remember, you know, being around so many interesting people, and that would have been our first time to kind of be around, you know, a film studio, just where they had a news hour there, and that was actually where Jim Lehrer got his start. He was a political writer at the Dallas Times Herald, which is now defunct, but that was the first place that he went on the air. And, yeah, it was just a really interesting mix of people down there. Just the guys building the sets and the camera guys and always the kind of group of people that were, like, you know, kind of especially nice to kids. It wasn't like walking in some office building. These were always guys that kind of made you feel welcome.
Now, your mother's a photographer who did a book about Richard Avedon's photographs. And she did a gallery show of photographs of her sons, you, Owen, and Andrew, I guess from childhood up through your work in the movies. Do you feel like you learned anything about movie making from seeing things through her eyes? You know, did she talk to you about, when you went to the movies with her, did she talk to you about, you know, angles and shots and that kind of thing?
Yeah, well, I definitely think I learned to, it helped, I know that it helps me to feel comfortable with a camera kind of close to my face, or to have somebody pointing a camera, and I know that I'm conscious of it, and in a good way. And I think that definitely comes from her. And also, she would, I would learn about light from her and when the best time of day to shoot. And you learn working in the movies, there's a time called magic hour where it's the last hour of the day. And the light is the best where you don't even actually need to use artificial light. But magic hour is good and bad. It is beautiful, but you also get, things get crazy in terms of everyone's rushing around and you're trying to get the shot, and then the last shots invariably are too dark, but you've just tried to get them, and it's always kind of sad when the light runs out. But yeah, I definitely think it for me, it ties into the movie business, having had her as being a photographer and just always taking pictures, and then being around her and Avedon and seeing him at work. But no, she didn't. I went to the movies more with my dad, and he'd take us to anything, and whether it was R or PG, and he was just a big movie fan, and that really affected me because he took me to some great stuff that I can remember going to see The Man Who Would Be King with him, and then a movie called Thief, which was Michael Mann's first movie, and those just made a huge impression on me. And I started out just loving to watch them. And then as I got, older, maybe around 12 or 14, started just trying to read about them. And the school I went to got the magazine Film Comment.
It must have been an interesting school if they subscribed to Film Comment.
Yeah, it was a good school. I don't know why they did. And but it was great that they had it. And everybody... Sports Illustrated was always out, but Film Comment was always right there on the rack, ready to be read. Growing up in Texas, I would have to kind of hide the fact that I had absolutely no interest in the sports page.
My guest is Luke Wilson. He co-stars in the new film The Family Stone. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, my guest is Luke Wilson, and he's now starring in the new movie The Family Stone. Wes Anderson, who directed you and your brother Owen in Bottle Rocket and the Royal Tenenbaums, he's said that he used to really want to be part of your family.
Yeah.
Did you understand that when did you know that when you were younger, and did you understand that that desire that he had?
I think Wes says that kind of more as a joke and maybe trying to pay a compliment to our parents. I don't think he would necessarily want to have been brothers with me or Owen or Andrew, but no, he just, my folks always really loved Wes and loved being around him and could just, we'd had some kind of wild, rough-hewn friends, and then here comes this guy that kind of wears tweed jackets and has a Truffaut book under his arm, and they thought, this is the kind of boy that we wish the boys would hang around with. So Wes was always very welcome at our house, and I think he just kind of liked being around, and we just had the same interests, where we might be different guys, just in terms of having played sports and things like that. We were really big movie lovers, and Wes was just always made to feel comfortable at the house and at my dad's office.
In the film The Royal Tenenbaums, you play a kind of former tennis star who is very depressed much of the time, and you're in love with your adopted sister Margot, who's played by Gwyneth Paltrow. I want to play a short scene, and this is a scene on a roof between you and Gene Hackman, who plays your scoundrel father, and he's just found out that you've been in love with your adopted sister Margot.
Yeah.
Margot Tenenbaum?
Yeah.
Well, since when?
Since always.
Does she know?
Uh-huh.
Well, what does she feel about that?
I think she feels confused.
Well, I can understand that. It's probably illegal.
I don't think so. We're not related by blood.
That's true. Still frowned upon. But then what isn't these days, right? I don't know. Maybe it works. Why not? What the hell? You love each other. Nobody knows what's going to happen, so... You know something? Don't listen to me. I never understood her myself. I never understood any of us. I wish I could tell you what to do, but I just can't.
That's okay.
No, it's not. You still consider me your father?
Sure I do.
I wish I had more to offer in that department.
I know you do, Pop.
That's a scene from The Royal Tenenbaums with my guest, Luke Wilson, and Gene Hackman. I know if I were an actor, I'd really want to do scenes with Gene Hackman. He's really so terrific. What do you get working opposite him in a scene? Like, what's it like to work with somebody who is as good and as subtle as he is?
Well, for me, it was just kind of watching him on the set. He never left the set. He always kind of had the script in his hand. And he was, you know, kept to himself while at the same time being friendly. But he just worked very hard. And I can remember one time we were doing this. It would make me, you know, focus, you know, much more than, say, I was working with Owen or something. But one day we were doing a scene in an elevator where we had to do it in an actual elevator. And I just got the line wrong twice in a row, and he just looked back at me with this glance that shivered me to the bone. And needless to say, I nailed it on the next take. But yeah, that was what I learned just from being around him. And he's probably my favorite actor, and that's been the best part of my being in the movie so far, is getting the chance to work with him. There's nobody like him, and he's just great. You can't beat him.
You wrote, directed, and star in a new film that's scheduled to start opening in February. It's called The Wendell Baker Story, and you play a con man who's deluded himself into thinking that he's a great businessman, and his business is making fake ID cards for Mexicans who are working illegally in the United States, right across the border. And this film is a comedy, and he goes on to get busted, spend time in prison, lose his girlfriend, and all kinds of complications ensue. What made you think about this as a subject, about this guy as a character?
Growing up in Texas, it's one of those things. Sometimes you kind of feel that you know, there's an element of people saying, now, oh, how do we get these borders closed? How do we keep, you know, these people from, you know, coming over here? And then you'll get so many of the people that, you know, a lot of the construction that goes on in Texas, you know, the highways and all these homes are the very people that they're complaining about being there. And and probably the same people that are hiring them and paying lower wages. So I don't know, I just like the idea of a guy that was a character that thought, you know, he really thought of himself. He Wendell Baker calls his Airstream that he uses as his office the Ellis Island of the Southwest, where he just thinks these are the people that are like kind of the backbone of the country, and he thinks he's doing a service to the country by you know, making them official citizens while kind of cutting corners.
And I want to play a short scene, and this is when he's in the trailer that he uses for his office. And there's pictures of a lot of Latino stars on the wall, and he points to each of them and talks about how...
he claims that they're his clients.
He claims that they're his clients, exactly. So here's that scene, and my guest, Luke Wilson, is in the role.
So let me talk to some of y'all about some of my past clients. Jimmy Snitz. I mean, I'm straight, but the guy smolders. Never quite broke through like I hoped. Fernando Valenzuela. Good guy, great arm, not the biggest advocate of physical conditioning. Ultimately, I think it hurt his longevity. I get out of a relationship with Salma Hayek, the frying pan, and go right into the fire. Jenny Lopez, nice girl, dated her briefly. Said some stuff about me around town. I hold no ill will. Chichi Rodriguez calls me, says, Wendell, I'm having trouble with my game. I watch him swing a couple times, and I give him one note. Fire the knees. Fire him right at the flagstick. Next week, he wins the Greater Hartford Senior Open. And all this business, slaying the dragon, he saw me do it on the 12th hole of Laredo Country Club in 1978.
That's Luke Wilson in a scene from his forthcoming film, The Wendell Baker Story. You wrote a role for your brother, Owen Wilson. What was it like for you to direct your brother?
Well, it was one of those things where it wasn't, I wouldn't even really call it directing. It was more, he brought so many funny lines to it, it would just kind of make me think of other stuff. It was just more a case of, why didn't you try this? And it was really fun to have him on the set. And it was one of those things where, you know, if it weren't for him being in the movie, you know, wouldn't have been able to get the money for the movie. So he's the, you know, one of the main reasons we were able to get the movie made. So it was just really fun to have him on the set playing a part then, too, so he could really be a part of it across the line.
Well, Luke Wilson, thank you so much. Happy holidays.
Thank you very much for having me, and I really enjoy the show, and I'm really glad to have been on, so thanks very much.
Luke Wilson stars in the new film, The Family Stone. His film, The Wendell Baker Story, which co-stars his brother Owen and was co-directed by his other brother, Andrew, premieres in Texas this February, then will roll out nationally. I'm Tariq Rose, and this is Fresh Air.